is the Lord again. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I want you to say, why not me? Look at your hands and say, why not me? All right, you may be seated. Sunday night, we spoke on the topic of the miracle is in your hands. And this is a month-long series that I've titled, given it the title, Why Not Me? As many times as Christians, we ask the question, God, why not me? We say, Lord, why not a miracle for me? And why not use me in a greater capacity in your ministry? How come I'm not being used in maybe miracles? How come I'm not experiencing some of these things in my life and in my family or in our ministry or my ministry? And tonight I want to take and continue on this same vein of thought. We're gonna look at two questions, and actually the answer is really the same for both of those questions. And one of those questions, if you desire a healing or a miracle in your life, or you desire to be used by God in that capacity, the question or the answer to that question is very much the same. And as I was putting together last Sunday night's message, I spoke Sunday night on how Moses was in the desert, and God had asked him, what is that in your hand? And Moses, he replied to the Lord, he had a shepherd's staff or a rod in his hand. And reading again tonight, just kind of briefing us on some of those that weren't here on Sunday night, and Exodus 4, 1 through 3, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Moses was questioning God. He was saying, Lord, you're going to send me back down there to Egypt. You're going to send me back down there. Those people down there haven't seen me for 40 years. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to listen to me. And the Lord asked Moses, he said, what is that in thine hand? And he says, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. So here we see Moses as he threw his shepherd's staff on the ground. It turned into a serpent. And as I mentioned Sunday night, I believed, and of course the scripture doesn't tell us, it just calls it a serpent, but I believe that serpent was a cobra. And you may say, well, does it really matter if it was a cobra or it was a rattlesnake or it was an adder, or does it really matter what kind of snake it was? It mattered to God what kind of snake or serpent he turned Moses' rod into. Because you have to understand, if you study ancient Egyptian history, you will find that a cobra is a symbol of authority in the Egyptian empire. All of the pharaohs, if you look through the history of the pharaohs, they all had their headdresses, and with built within or molded within those headdresses of authority was a cobra in the process of striking out. And the pharaoh's headbands, you will find if you look into some of the ancient pictures and you see that cobra on the head of the pharaoh, that was a sign of authority, and that was a sign of power. And when Moses entered into the court of Pharaoh and he told Pharaoh to let his people go, Pharaoh asked Moses, under whose authority do you ask this? And Moses answered and said, the great I am that I am had sent me. The ultimate authority of the universe is the one who sent me here, Pharaoh. And as a sign of his power and a sign of his authority, Moses had Aaron. Aaron threw down his staff, and immediately there in front of Pharaoh, it turned into a serpent, or it turned into a cobra. Now what Pharaoh did is he turned to his magicians and he asked them to throw down their staffs as well. And as they threw down their staffs turned into a serpent as well. But if you notice what happened here, the great I am that I am that sent Moses down to Pharaoh to say, let my people go. When Moses cast his serpent on the ground, something happened to that rod. Or when he cast his rod on the ground, something supernaturally happened to that staff. So Moses there, trying to prove to Pharaoh the authority of his God, he throws his staff on the ground, and Pharaoh says, "That's nothing. Watch this." And all of his magicians threw their staffs down, and they all turned into serpents. But God saying, "I will not be mocked. I am the great I am." And Aaron's rod or Aaron's staff went and devoured all of the other serpents that were there, devoured all of the other staffs of the magicians. God says, "I am the ultimate authority. You can go ahead and fake. You can go ahead and do what you want to do, Pharaoh. You can take and throw as many staffs on the ground and turn them into as many snakes as you want to. But I have the power and I have the authority over your kingdom, and I will continue to devour them as long as you continue to throw them down." But you notice one thing that Pharaoh's magicians and their staffs could not do. They could not send the plagues upon the nation of Israel. It was Moses that his staff, when God said, "Stretch it out over the land," and here we have Moses and Aaron, they're taking and they're facing the mighty Pharaoh, and God is coming through, and God has given us tonight, today, this week, this month, our entire lives as a Christian, God has given us supernatural power, and He is giving us the authority to back it up. You see, God will never give us the power without giving us the authority. He has given us the authority. He has given us the power, and it is through His authority that we have that power. It wasn't through Moses' power, and it wasn't through Moses' authority. It was through God's power and God's authority. It is God's power, but through His authority that we use that power. It was God's supernatural power, and it was His authority in the hands of Moses. And tonight I would like to title this Bible study, His Power, His Authority, But Our Hands. His power, His authority, but our hands. Reading tonight from Luke 10, 17 through 19. "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.' And he said unto them, 'I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power.'" Behold, Jesus is saying, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." That is what Jesus Christ told His disciples. That is what He gave to them. He said, "Behold, I'm going to give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions." You notice you can only tread over something if you're walking on top of it. It didn't say that I give you power to stand above or above them or beside them. It says I give you power to literally walk over the very top of them. That's why they're called stair treads, because you walk on them. Also, as we read the book of Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, Apostle Paul does a great job of laying out so well the authority that we as Christians have in Jesus Christ. We have the authority over evil spirits. We have authority over sickness. We have authority over situations. If you are here tonight, obviously you are here tonight, but if you're here tonight and you have a problem in your life, and as the tongues and interpretation went forth a little bit earlier, which was God speaking to His church, this is biblical. It's in the Bible. We can discuss it. If you have questions on that, we can gladly discuss that with you after service. But if you have situations in your life tonight, God says, "I have the power and the authority to take care of whatever your problem is." But also, if you're a born-again believer, God has given us the power and the authority. We read in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." We've read this scripture a lot this year. This is a very powerful scripture. It's a very potent scripture. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I know that some Christians today, some of you here tonight, may think that spiritual authority only belongs to a few of the chosen people in whom God has given a special power or a special favor to. But if you read the book of Ephesians and you read through the Gospels, God is saying, no, that is not true. That is not true. 1,000 times no. Spiritual authority belongs to all of the children of God. It doesn't matter what status you are in as a child of God. It doesn't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher. You have power and authority in your classroom to lay hands on those children and they will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you are out on our park outreaches and it's your first park outreach and you've never done it before and someone says, I need healing, you have the power and authority through the name of Jesus to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's just not left up to the pastors to have the power and the authority. It's just not left up to the bishops. It's just not left up to the elders. It's given to all of us. It's given to all of us. We received that spiritual authority when we were born again, when we repented of our sins and we were baptized in His name. We took on that family name. We took on His family name, the name of Jesus Christ. You look into history and families will have a family crest. Our family crest is the Word of God. It is planted, it is implanted inside of our hearts and inside of our minds. Jesus says, behold, I give you power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and by any means shall nothing hurt you or harm you. That's what He gives. When we were made new creatures in Christ Jesus, we inherited the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can use our spiritual authority against our enemy. You see, spiritual authority belongs to us, whether we realize it or not. It's ours. We own it. It's not anybody. It's for us. We have to understand it. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this, church. Do you really realize and understand that the power and the authority of the Almighty God is ours? Do we really believe that? Do you believe that tonight? Some of you do. I'm believing that. If we want to see miracles and signs and wonders happen in this country of ours and in this church and in this county, we got to start believing some of this stuff. It's just not something we read about. It's not something that just happened back then. It's not just something that was for the disciples. It's for us today. It's for me. It's for you. We got to use it. We must exercise our spiritual authority, knowing that we have the power. And not using that power, is we're not accomplishing anything by that. So in order to understand this, we have to understand what power and authority really is. Power is defined as the ability to do or act, capability of doing something by definition. Power has to do with one's ability. To have power means to have the ability to do something. Now, authority is defined as the power or determine or settle issues, the power to determine or settle issues, the right to control, persuasive force. To have authority has nothing to do with your ability or your capabilities. You have authority means by the power that has been bestowed upon you. Whether you have the ability or not is irrelevant. So when we look at this, We don't have the ability to overcome Satan on our own, but He gives us power over Satan because it's through His ability. It's not through my ability, it's through His ability. He gives us power and authority over Satan. You see, and this is where Satan fools a lot of Christians. You see, he wants to get into a power struggle. He wants us to get into a power struggle with him based on our own strength. He likes to lure us into a fight based upon our own flesh and blood. And we get lured into fights with the enemy, and we try to fight a spiritual fight using our physical abilities. And we forget about the authority that has been given to us through Jesus Christ. It's like this. Follow me. In James 5:14, it says, is any sick among you? That's a question. Is there anyone sick here tonight among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. We did that Sunday night. We had our ministers and our elders up here and anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, what this is really saying, what this is really in factually actual doing is the exercising the power of attorney. Now, we've heard that term before, the power of attorney. Christ has given us the legal right to use his name because we are his legal offspring. We're his offspring. We're his children. We have power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. He has given us authority to face the devil in the power of his name. He is not here physically. He ascended. Jesus Christ walked in this earth. He ascended into the heavens. He's not here physically with us, but he has given us authority to carry out his work until he comes. So that means we can go forth using that power of attorney, using his name. And we use that power of attorney and we use his name. The devil has no option but to recognize us when we use the name of Jesus Christ. He has no option. He has to recognize that name. There is no other name that he can recognize other than the power and authority in the name of Jesus. Every time Jesus went toe-to-toe with Satan, he defeated him. 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus was fasting and praying, and Satan came to him, and with 3 verses of Scripture, Jesus defeated him. You see, the devil has always been defeated. Why was he always and has always been defeated? Because of the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has given us the authority through the power of his name. What did he say before he ascended into the heavens? He says, greater works than these shall ye do. What is he saying? He says, greater works than these shall you do. Shall who do? Shall you do. Shall we do? Because I go unto my Father. Jesus said, all of these great miracles that I did, all of the great things that you saw, the raising of the dead, the casting out of devils, the healing of the sick, the walking on the water, the feeding the 5,000, all of these great miracles that I did, you know what? When I leave here, I'm going to give you power and I'm going to give you authority in my name and you're going to do greater things than these. He has given us power and authority through the Holy Ghost to carry on his work until he returns. Now, there is a difference between power and authority. You see, no one has the power to heal. You can come down here tonight with anything from a minor headache to stage 4 terminal cancer, and I have no power to heal you. But I do have the power to exercise his authority. You see, we have the authority to use his power. You understand that? We got to get a grasp on this, church. If we can get a grasp on this, Acts 3:6, Peter and John, on the way to a prayer meeting, they tapped in to that power when they saw that lame man there. They had the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. All they did was say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They exercised the power through the authority. Now, we don't have the power to heal, but we have the authority to use his name. I want to give you an example. You can go down here at this roundabout, and there may be an accident, and there's a police officer standing out there. And when I put this together, I was thinking of one of the smaller ladies in our congregation. So I thought of Sister Brooke Wells. Could you just stand up for a minute, Sister Brooke? That's all right. Okay? This is Sister Brooke Wells. Now, I'm not going to try to guess her weight, but I want to say, you know, she's somewhere in the 100-pound range, maybe give or take a little, okay? So you have little Brooke Wells down there, and she's wearing a police uniform, okay? And she's directing traffic. Now, she holds out her hand, and a big 80,000-pound semi-truck comes to a stop. Now, inside that semi-truck, you have a big guy like John Repka. Could you stand up, Brother John? You're right over here. Stand up, okay, Brother. Sister Brooke, stand up again, okay? You have Sister Brooke and you have Brother John in an 80,000-pound semi-truck, okay? You get the picture. He says, "Hurry up, officer. I'm in a hurry." And little Brooke looks up there and says, "You'll go when I tell you to go. You'll never move until I tell you you can move." Then the trucker, Brother John Repka, glares at her and says to himself, "I could get out of this truck and go down there with one hand and I could whip her. You don't have the power to stop me." And Brooke looks up at Brother Repka and says, "That's true. I probably don't have the power to stop you." The officer, as you may well know, does not have the power to stop the trucker, nor the power to stop the truck. But you see, Brooke doesn't need the power to stop the truck. Why? Because she has been given the authority to stop the truck. Do you understand the difference between power and authority? She doesn't have the power to stop it, but she says, "Behind me, there is an authority. There is a law that says when I'm standing in this roundabout and I'm telling you to stop, you stop. You don't move one inch of that truck." It's exactly the same thing in regard to God. God has not given any man the power to heal. He is not a man. There's not a man in the world that can heal anybody of anything. But God has given us the authority to use the power of His name. Just like the power behind the law stops the truck, the power and authority behind Jesus Christ stops the enemy. God has given us authority. But you see, Jesus said in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This is an incredible truth if we can just grasp onto this, church. We read in Hosea 4:6 in the Old Testament, says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge." It's sad to say that many churches today, you go into churches and you wonder why churches today have no power. Why Christians today have no power. The reason they have no power is because they lack the knowledge concerning spiritual wisdom. Pastors have no authority in their lives, and because they have no authority in their lives, they have no power. And because they have no power and they have no authority, because some of them are ignorant of the fact, or they ignore the fact. That's the reason why there's no spiritual authority in their churches or in their ministries. You see, churches today have forgotten about God and His divine principles and His divine laws. And for the love of many shall wax cold. Christians have let their lights go out. They're no longer that light on the hill. They've lost their salt. And what good is salt if it has no savor? We have pulled off the armor of God, which we spoke of in the month of January. We pulled off our armor of God, and now we stand open to all of the fiery darts of the wicked. We have walked away, or they have walked away from the truth, and they have taken off their helmets of salvation. They have taken off their breastplates of righteousness and taken off their shoes. They've cast aside their shields of faith, and they simply lost the desire to use the sword of the Spirit to fight the enemy. But church, we must take the Word of God and we must apply it to our lives on a daily basis. Our world is so sick from the constant intake of sin. There's sin and degradation all around us, and I'm afraid that we have gone so far from the road of sin and pleasure and worldliness that we may never get back on the right track. But to the born-again believer, to the true believer in Jesus Christ, to the born-again apostolic believer, all is not lost. Listen, we can't quit yet. It's not time to quit. The only time I'm going to give it up is when I hear the trumpet and I'm taken out of here. Until then, I'm going to continue to fight the fight. I'm going to continue to move forward. I believe that the best is yet to come. Isaiah 54:17, the prophet Isaiah said, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn." This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is your heritage. This is my heritage. "And the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God is my source of power. God is my source of authority. He is the power behind our authority." So how does, you may ask yourself, how does this work in our lives? You have to understand one thing about authority. Authority doesn't beg. Authority doesn't ask. Authority simply commands. It simply commands. We read in Matthew 8, verses 8, 9, and 13, "The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only." But speak the word only, "and my servant shall be healed." What was the key? What was the key to this? "For I am a man under authority." Now listen, sometimes we wonder why God's not using us in ministry. Right here is a very paramount clue. The name isn't really mentioned what's missing here, but we can read between the lines when it says, "For I am a man under authority." I am a man that submits himself to authority. If I don't submit myself to authority, then my power and my authority is worthless. You can pray that God would use you all you want to. You can ask God to use you. You can fast until you can't hardly stand. You can pray until your voice dies and won't put out another word. But until you have submitted yourself to the authority, you're not going nowhere. But look what happens when this concept is released. "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to thy servant, do this, and he doeth it." And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the same self hour. Jesus said, "In all of Israel, I have yet to run into a man that has as much faith as that man." Why? Because he knew how to submit to authority, and he understood power and authority. You see, authority is exercised through our spoken words. Proverbs 18:21 states that death and life are in the power of the tongue, or the spoken words, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Jesus made this one thing clear. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus cast out demons using his authority in Mark 1:27, and they were all amazed that they questioned among them, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits? And they do obey him." Matthew 8:16. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. With his word. He didn't call the disciples together and says, disciples, let's have a prayer circle here. Let's get around this person. Let's start praying. Let's start quoting and chanting, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He just used the word, and the demons had to flee. Why? Because the demons themselves recognized the power and authority. He healed the sick with his spoken word in Luke 7:7. Therefore, neither thought I myself for thee to come unto thee, but I say in a word, and thy servant shall be healed. John 5:8, Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. What's one of the commandments that Jesus gave his disciples? He commanded them to heal the sick. Heal the sick, Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. We notice in Luke 9:1 that he not only gave his disciples authority over all the devils, but also to cure all manner of diseases. Then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Authority is exercised when there is a right to exercise it. They weren't praying and asking for God to heal people. They had the authority to heal people. And they were exercising it with the spoken word just as they had saw Jesus do it. I know Mark 16:17 tells us that healing can come through the laying on of hands, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Laying hands, understand this, laying on of hands. I like it the way that this is put. Laying on of hands transfers the power from us. It transfers the power of our Holy Ghost. Brother Pat, it transfers the power of your Holy Ghost. It transfers His power and His authority. Transfers through us, just as a woman with the issue of blood. You see, His power, His virtue flowed through His garment into her body. And when you're called for the pastor to pray for you, and the pastors lay hands on you and anoint you with oil and praise the prayer of faith, right then, in your mind, you need to forget about Pastor Thomas laying hands on you, and you need to insert in your mind Jesus Christ standing right there with nail-scarred hands, laying His hands upon your head and healing your body. Because it's not Phil that does it. It's not Rich that does it. It's not Roy that does it. It's the power and authority of Jesus Christ Himself that does it. It's not about the longer we keep our hand on their head, the more they're going to get healed. It doesn't matter. It's His power and His authority. It's got nothing to do with you and me. Jesus said, Mark 16:16, and these signs shall follow them that believe, and by name they shall cast out devils. They didn't have to beg the demons to come out. He gave them authority to cast them out. And the 70 turned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject through us, unto us through thy name. But one thing that Jesus Christ did before he left this earth, he took his power and his authority and he distributed it among his apostles and his disciples. Luke 1:9, and then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. We read this already, but the authority of the 70, when he sent out the 70 in Luke 10:17, and they returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Through whose name? Through the name of Jesus. Authority has been given to them who believe. Jesus gave his disciples authority to carry out his will here on earth. As our musicians would come at this time, we are his disciples and we are followers of Jesus Christ. He is our Father and we are his children. We can learn a few things as we read Mark 19 through 29 about how faith allows us to access our authority. When the disciples came across an unusually strong demonic spirit that wouldn't budge, in verse 18, Jesus made it very clear that they lacked faith by calling them faithless. But he also made it clear that some demons are strong. Some of them are powerful. And it's going to take an unusually higher level of faith to cast them out. And what does he challenge them to do? In order to gain that higher level of faith, it takes prayer and fasting. You see, in order for us to accomplish what God has really called us to do in this city, in this county, we have to submit to his authority. We have to submit to our authority. You know, it doesn't matter how far you go up on the chain of command. There's always someone higher in authority than you. I submit myself to the authority of my father, which is our senior pastor. Brother Russell is my elder. I submit myself to his authority because he's an elder. See, Jesus said unto them in Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, you shall say unto this sickness, you shall say unto this evil spirit, you shall say unto this situation in your life, you shall say unto your broken marriage. You shall say unto your wayward teenagers, your children. You shall say unto the problems that face you. You shall say unto your financial situation, your job, whatever it is, whatever that mountain is in your life, say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing. Do you get this? And absolutely nothing shall be impossible unto you. You see, church, it's his power, it's his authority, but it's our hands. You could stand at this time. Sunday night, we had all of our pastors and ministers come up here and pray. This is pastor's Bible study, and what I would like to do, we all need to exercise power and authority in our lives. As the month goes on, we're going to progress more into this, but tonight we need to understand that we need his power and his authority in our lives. I'm not going to ask if you desire more power and more authority of Jesus Christ in your life. I'm going to make an assumption that you desire and you strive for that. You're seeking for that. I know I am. So I want you to come down to this altar tonight, and I want you to lay yourself out before the Lord. Say, Lord, what is it What is it in my life that I am not willing to submit to you? You see, if we want this to happen, we've got to understand the process that we have to go through to allow it to happen in our lives. We have to submit ourselves unto His power and unto His authority. We have to submit ourselves under the power and authority of our boss who we work for. Yeah, you may not like it, but he's your boss, and you submit yourself to his authority. You submit yourself to those that are in leadership over you in ministry. Husbands, submit to your wife, or wives, submit yourself to your husbands. What is it that is hindering the power and authority in your life from being exercised in the supernatural? It's his power. It's his authority. But it is our hands. Tonight, let's give our hands to the Almighty. And as we give our hands to the Almighty and we submit ourselves to the Almighty, just as Moses submitted himself to Jehovah God, and God took that staff and caused it to become supernatural in nature. God is desiring for your hands to become supernatural in nature.